A prayer to be said when the world has gotten you down and you feel rotten and you're just too doggone tired to pray and you're in a big hurry and besides, you're angry at everyone and everyone's angry at you is a one-word prayer. Help! And I think that's one of the greatest prayers any of us can pray. Because there are times in our life when we have offered that prayer, oh God, help. There have been times in our life when our circumstance is beyond our ability to deal with it. And so we ask, help. Maybe one of the most authentic prayers any of us could ever pray is the word help. Because our heart is crushed, or we're not sure what to do. And the Holy Spirit nudges us to say, He's with you. Ask Him for help. I'm reminded of an Old Testament story that's not a very familiar story at all. It's after Israel has been led off into the wilderness, and Moses is leading the children of Israel, probably a couple of million people by now. And they try to set up a city and organize themselves. One day, Moses' father-in-law comes to visit him. And Moses looks exhausted because Moses was exhausted. From early morning until late at night, he was responsible for making judgments with people of Israel who came to him with complaints. So from the first early morning light until the sun set, he was talking to people who needed help, when all along, Moses needed help. And Jethro says to him, and I always smile when I think of Jethro because I couldn't help it. I always think of Jethro Bodine from the Beverly Hillbillies. And I know that's not the Jethro. This was a very wise Jethro. And he says to Moses, what you're doing is not right. You are going to wear yourself out. What you need is help. And so what Moses ends up doing, which I thought was really a very good thing to do. He dealt with the cases that no one else could really deal with, but he set up a number of judges who were very responsible people, and he got the help that he needed. And let's face it, there are some times in our lives when we're so despondent that even mentioning the word or whispering the word help is too much for us. That's why it's important to pray for others who can't pray. Have you ever had a situation in your life when life was so difficult that you just didn't even have the strength to pray? And that phone call came, or that note came, or that whisper in the ear came with someone saying, I'm praying for you. And if that's never happened to you, I wonder if you would consider this statement. That may be one of the reasons why some of us don't pray and have never prayed is because we think we can handle life all by ourselves. And how's that working for us? Because there are some times in life when we can't handle it all by ourselves and we need one another. One of the great passages of Scripture, as far as I'm concerned, in the Bible was found in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul said this, now to him who is able to give you immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine, according to his power that is now at work within your own lives and your own heart, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. To him be glory in the church when God is working remarkably through people in the church. And there's this beautiful passage that Paul relates, and he does it in such a beautiful way, where it says that Christ is the head of the body, the church, and that you and I are part of that body. And so as individually we offer prayers, there are times when, like Moses, we need help. And we need others praying for us at the same time. But 100 years ago, there were two very prominent preachers. One was Dwight L. Moody, and one was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. They couldn't be more different. One preaching in England, one preaching in North America. One day, somebody came to visit the church where Spurgeon was preaching. And the place was always filled to overflowing. And it was one of those times that were just evangelistically magical times, spiritual times. When Dwight Moody and Charles Haddon Spurgeon, no kidding, would be preaching 7 days a week in the church where they set up. And sometimes twice a day, sometimes 3 times a day, 7 days a week, and it would go on for months. They were exhausted, but people kept coming. And there was something about the message of Christ at that particular time in the culture of both North America and in Europe, where people couldn't get enough of knowing about Jesus and knowing about the scriptures. It seems so strange of us to think of those times, but it was a remarkable time. And one day, people came to visit Charles Spurgeon's church, and he looked tired. And they asked him, "Why are so many people coming to the Lord? Why are they responding to your message?" And he said, "Got an easy answer for you. It's our church heating plant." And they said, "Pardon me? The reason why we're growing is not by my preaching. It's by our heating plant. Do you want to see our heating plant?" They said, "Yeah." And they went down through several staircases, down into the boiler room, and going through where the furnace boiling room is, opening another door, and on their knees were several hundred people who were deeply in prayer, that when people would come to the next service, that their hearts would be open to Christ Jesus. And that was going on 3 times a day, every day, week in and week out. More and more people joining the heating plant, the spiritual pipeline to God. Maybe one of the reasons why some powerful things aren't happening in North America, even among our churches, is because we just give cursory prayers instead of on our knees begging God for more and more people to come to Jesus, or for each one of us individually knowing that our hearts need to be opened to Christ Jesus. And so when Jethro said to Moses, "What you're doing is not right, you need help," that really is a great prayer. In fact, when I got looking at scriptures, talking about prayer, let me just share with you some. Paul said this, "Pray continually." And I thought about that. There was a saint years gone by, long gone to be with the Lord. They called him Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence worked among the poorest of people, but he decided that he was not praying enough. And so he dedicated himself to picture in his mind that God was with him, right beside him, 24 hours a day. Truth is, he's right. "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you." But Brother Lawrence did something that I've never tried, or maybe none of us have ever tried, and that is visualizing that God was right beside him all day long. And he decided that he was going to work in the monastery kitchen. And so from early morning, before it was even light, Brother Lawrence would say, "Good morning, God," because as he got up and dressed, he pictured God beside him. And as he was walking to the galley kitchen, he pictured God beside him. And he would talk to God. And as he got the gruel ready for breakfast, and as he was cutting the carrots for the later meal, he pictured God beside him. And all day long, and it took a long time for him to get comfortable with it, but for all day long, day after day after day after day, he would visualize God. In fact, he said, even in my dreams, God dreams with me. It was this relationship with God. And I know that seems impossible. You don't want to be driving a car and just forget where you're going, but we can always picture God beside us. I'm always with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am with you always. Pray continually, he said. Or, as James says, if you're in trouble, pray. Or I love this passage, Jeremiah 33. Call to me, God. I will answer you, he says. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you don't know. Or Jude, the very small letter, he says this. Build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Or in 1 Timothy 2, speaking specifically to men was Paul when he wrote this, and I thought it was cool. I want men everywhere to lift holy hands in prayer. Or Romans 12. Be faithful in praying. Or as Val read to us this morning, Jesus told his disciples that they should always pray and do not give up. Or 2 Chronicles 7:14, God says this, a very familiar passage. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. One of the reasons why the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church became such a growing church is because people came in off the streets feeling vulnerable, feeling unloved, but they were welcomed and they spent most of the service on their knees praying. And these were people who didn't know how to offer sweet prayers. So sometimes their prayers would be out loud and in agony, sometimes angry prayers, but always petitioning God with one word, help. I can't do this on my own. And God whispers to each one of us, you were never intended to do this on your own. You were never intended to live your life on your own. I'm with you. I'm always with you. And I remember you even when you don't remember me. Brother Lawrence had it right. Get a picture of God, a vision of God, knowing that he's with us every step of the way. Just a brief message this morning. I was trying to describe for myself, how would you define prayer? And I think it has an awful lot to do with two words. Truth. When it's just you and God, there really is no reason not to be 1,000% truthful because he already knows everything about you. Truth. It's to be truthful, authentic with ourselves. The first part of prayer, speak your truth. The second part of prayer is reconciliation. I need to make it right. I need God, our relationship, to be made right. And so one of the things to make right is to speak the truth and let God hear. Many of you remember Desmond Tutu, Nelson Mandela, and other people. One of the things about Desmond Tutu that really helped was his truth and reconciliation gathering. People coming together. And right now, even in Canada, whether you're a happy person who enjoys our politics or not, one of the things that is happening among our Indigenous people is the truth and reconciliation. The understanding of speak the truth, so that we can make it right. And when we talk to God, we're speaking the truth. And if we don't know something, one of the greatest prayers to pray is, God, I don't know. Help me. Or if we're angry, we don't pray because we think we shouldn't pray because we're angry. But one of the great things in prayer is to tell God, I'm angry, as if he doesn't know already. But he wants you to say it. I'm angry, God, help me. Or I want to know you better, God. Or please, what can I do to make my relationship better? But don't offer the prayer and step back from the prayer and say, God doesn't answer my prayers. It's a continual speaking to God, offering ourselves to God. And sometimes God does not answer our prayers the way we would like. And we look back, and many times we say, thank you, God, you did not answer what I wanted. It would have been horrible. It would have been horrible. He takes our life. He molds it. He created each one of us individually so that the world could be blessed, be a better place. It begins with us praying to our Father. I wonder sometimes too, and I close with this, if our prayers, even for other people, might save their life. It just might save their life. The people who gathered in Spurgeon's basement praying for people to come to know the Lord. He believed with all of his heart, Spurgeon did, that those prayers saved people's lives. People who came into the church with heavy addictions, people who came into the church with murderous thoughts, people who came into the church from committing grievous ills in society, their hearts were opened and they changed their lives and even stopped murders from taking place. I wonder if we prayed for others, if we might just save their lives. You remember the story, and Ed Whittington in his Bible class several weeks ago told this story right from the scriptures where James was in prison and executed, and Peter was next in line, and he was in prison. He was most likely going to be executed, and the church was gathering together, and they were praying and praying for Peter. And God miraculously allowed Peter to leave the prison. And he comes knocking on the door, expecting a wonderful reception from people who were praying and that they would all gather around and say, thank you, God, you've answered our prayer. Instead, they went, whoa, this must be his ghost. And it's almost as if God is saying, you know, I want you to pray, but I also want you to know that I hear your prayers. And I will answer your prayers. Sometimes it won't be exactly the way you think, but do you trust me? I will speak the truth, we say to God. And God says in response, and I will speak the truth to you. Do you trust me? And that's why we say, God, we put our lives into your hands. So students, adults, whoever you are today, no matter what's happening in your life, maybe Brother Lawrence wasn't some kind of crazy saint. Maybe he got it right. But God is with us, never, ever leaving us. We speak our truth to him, and he responds to us. I'd like to do something just a bit different as we close. I would like, and maybe for some of you, this will be the first time you've ever done this, and you just separate yourself from everybody else for a moment. I would just like each one of us to pray. Not long, and I'll come back to the microphone and I'll conclude our prayer. So would you bow, pray anything that you want to pray, and then I'll come back and conclude our prayer. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Father. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.